May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Let me give you a different account of Jesus walking in the water. This is verse 22 of Matthew 14. And immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And after he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking upon the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, repeatedly saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying repeatedly, "Take courage, I am. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said to him, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. And seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." That's written repeatedly too. "Save me, save me, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Isn't it interesting that when he got in the boat, the wind stopped in this story? He didn't tell the wind to stop. The wind stopped because the test was over. He used the storm to give a test. Remember what we said before, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. So no matter how much time you spent in the lecture part of your relationship with Christ, the lab part's always where the rubber meets the road, where it gives an opportunity for the things he's taught us to really be fleshed out in our walk. Now, here's something that Peter got that is really important for all of us to get, because we can spend our time studying the historicity of the gospel and the stuff that Jesus did and thinking that is so cool. That really sets him apart. He really is the Messiah. He did all that stuff. He's not like a normal person. But there's a better way of studying the gospels, and that is that even though Jesus was God, he lived on earth as man. And he was the prototype of the new creation. Jesus used terms like "follow my example." He was showing to them, as second Adam, what life in the Spirit, what a Spirit-filled life, what walking in the Spirit looked like. And so he was always trying to say to them, the things that I'm doing, you get to do too. That's why he said in the upper room, after his resurrection, "As the Father sent me, so I've sent you." And so when they're crying out, "It's a ghost," and Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, it's me, I am," Peter is the only one who had the right response. Okay, if Jesus can do that, it wasn't just the sight, one person has said, of Jesus conquering the waves, it was the sound of Jesus calling. That if Jesus was doing that, it wasn't just Jesus showing them something, Jesus was revealing to them the lifestyle they were called to live. That's why he would do the things he did, like heal the sick and then send them out. Grant them his power and authority and then send them out, and they would do the same thing. One of the things that you'll discover about the test part is that we usually learn how to live supernatural Christianity. I don't mean by that doing signs and wonders. I mean the sign and wonder of not flipping out when things are falling apart. The sign and wonder of walking in personal interior holiness, a peace that passes understanding, a joy unspeakable, full of glory. That kind of thing. Now, it can manifest itself in signs and wonders ministry, but I'm talking about the sign and wonder of being set free from your fallen self. Learning how to do that usually comes in the midst of storms. It's easy to walk in the Spirit when everything is happening the way you hope it would happen, when it all feels good. But see, lost people can walk in the Spirit too. They're not, but they're doing the same thing you're doing, just doing the best they can, and it working out really well because everything's really easy. But Christianity is, Jesus isn't just supernatural. Christianity is supernatural. And because we've been placed into his life, then what he did, he keeps doing through his new body, which is me and you. I was sharing a couple of times yesterday that if we don't understand what it means to be in Christ, we really don't understand fully what it means to be saved. We don't really fully understand what it means to be a Christian. That's the dominant theme of the New Testament. That's the dominant phrase. It's the most important It's the Rosetta Stone to all doctrine and scripture and Christianity. It opens up everything. If you don't understand that, you don't get it. And you'll never take out for a spin all that's yours, the unsearchable riches that are yours in Christ. And one of the things my spiritual father used to say, that when Jesus said, come, he was saying to Peter, you need to understand, Peter, what threatens to be over your head is already under my feet. And if you'll just walk on the word I've given you, you'll discover that as the Father sent me, so send I you. And so Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, kept his eyes on Jesus, and he was being set free from his natural tendency to sink. But the moment he got his eyes off of Christ and onto the waves and onto the wind, that reality, he became more conscious of that than he was of Jesus and Jesus' ability to set him free from his own tendency to sink. You see, everything that threatens to be over your head is already under his feet. He's already conquered the reign of sin. He's already defeated the powers of darkness. We step out walking, knowing that we're simply trusting him for the manifestation of a victory he's already won. And he wants to manifest that victory through our humanity. But often, the favorite Christian jingle is the one we practice. When in trouble or in doubt, run in a circle, scream and shout. That's in the Bible somewhere, I think. And then you might say, well, Bishop, you know, I was like walking that out and I blew it. And I've just been struggling ever since I blew it. I don't know what to do. I got it. I messed up. There's a real holy prayer. As Peter was sinking, he cried out, help. And Jesus didn't walk over to him and go, no, I can never be as disappointed in you as I have been now. You had a chance to walk this thing out. You blew it. So just bubble your way down and learn a lesson, Peter. Now, what did he do? He picked him up by the hand, and Peter walked on the water again, back to the boat. That's the way it works. So you were walking in the Spirit, and you blew it. And then what would the enemy like for you to spend the next hour, days doing? Wah, wah, wah. Being a spiritual crybaby, being introspective. You know why you stopped walking in the Spirit? Because you stopped abiding in him, and you started looking at all the jazz, and you couldn't figure it out. So if that happened, just own it, get up, and start walking on the water again. Because what's threatening to be over your head is already under his feet. Just keep walking. You'll see it manifested. And here's the deal. All these guys, none of them laughed at Peter. You know, do you notice that there's no story of them making fun of Peter and laughing at him for being such an idiot because he sunk? They wouldn't dare say anything to him. Why? Because he's the only one sitting in that boat who had experienced what they were all invited to enjoy, walking on the water. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.